T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to Hardline. I'm Brenda Alacy. Joe Beamer is enjoying some R&R, but we'll be back next week on the show. And boy, we have a busy show today. Duane Whitmer, who is the New York 27 congressional candidate, will join me in just a moment. Whitmer is the Libertarian candidate in the race, and the election is this Tuesday. So much to discuss with Duane. Later, State Senator Rob Ord, who represents the 62nd District, just became the minority leader in the Republican, Republican minority leader. He'll be on right after the 10:30 news. And our good friend Carol Calabrese, the political strategist, and I will talk with Rob and the ever-changing political scene locally and around the world. Things are always changing and evolving in the world of politics, so we look forward to discussing the latest happenings. And thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it and look forward to your calls at 803-0930. And text at that same number. Again, it's 716-803-0930. Before we get rolling, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there and to all the father figures in our lives. And what a glorious day to have a Father's Day celebration. Great weather. It looks like it's going to get a little nasty over the next couple of days, but today certainly is a winner. And next, we're going to go right to Duane Whitmer. Duane, good morning and welcome to Hardline.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you, and I hope you are too, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us. Now, Duane, we talked to some of your opponents last week, Chris Jacobs, Stefan Mihailu, Beth Parlato, and Nate McMurray, of course, who is the presumed Democrat candidate running against Chris Jacobs and the others, and a rather unusual type of setup this Tuesday, two elections in one. How have you prepared for the election? What do you tell people who are interested in your views as a libertarian?
So what we've done is, because I'm a third party, I actually started campaigning like November 2018 after Collins beat McMurray. Since Collins was indicted for insider trading, I said something's going to change. Something needs to change here. That doesn't represent NY27. I know personally that doesn't represent me. So I said the two-party system where there's a one-party rule, you look at this district, it's been predominantly Republican, and we've had, two special elections in 10 years in this district. You look at the state of New York where it's one-party rule, the Dems control it. You've had Spitzer, Skelos, and Schneiderman all get sent away. One-party rule breeds corruption. And to be honest, the two-party rule isn't much better. I decided that I wanted to start people a better alternative to the two-party system. When you go shopping, when you go out to eat, it's not just McDonald's and Burger King. This is America. We have a lot of choices, a lot of different options. When you go to a store to buy anything, there's more than two brands. And then when you go to vote, which is the most important time of your life, usually more often than not, you have two options, and neither of them are really going to do much for you. So the last half, I've been telling people that and saying, it's time to provide a competitor. It's time to provide a free market politics where you have more voices being heard.
Well, when it comes to that voice, Duane, how would you describe the views of a libertarian? What are some of your core principles?
Perfect. No, so libertarians, we're pro-gun. We are the most pro-gun party, as evidenced by our few victories in New York State. We were suing the pistol permit regime. we have a libertarian activist, an attorney, has the first victory against the SAFE Act. A guy that was, I think, the first guy convicted under the SAFE Act. We got that reversed. We're pro-legalization of cannabis and ending the drug war, because that's one of the reasons why you're seeing some of these riots with overbearing regulations. We want smaller government. We're anti-war. We want to start getting rid of some of the federal government programs that don't really have a use other than either jobs program or providing the false sense of security to people. And at the end of the day, we believe that an average individual can run his life better than the government. So we want to remove some regulations and restrictions that kind of hinder him from living his best life. Make it easier for him to open a business, get rid of some of these insane permitting laws where it makes it harder for low-income people to open a business, and kind of let them lead their own life as long as they're not hurting other people or impacting other people's lives as negative. And so that's kind of what a libertarian believes in.
I always thought of a libertarian as sort of that laissez-faire, hands-off. Is that something where you feel like big government is just way too intrusive in people's lives?
Well, it absolutely is. And what you have that happens is the most politicians, I can't say all, but most politicians that get elected, when they get the power, they get the money, they both use big government to grab control. They both use never let a tragedy go to waste. They let a bad thing happen and then use it to grab power. So after, 9/11, which was a massive tragedy, you had a lot of government spying programs come out. And now it's being used against our own people, which is a massive, massive violation of the Fourth Amendment. Now you have the coronavirus here in New York State, and you have, Andrew Cuomo getting a massive, massive power grab where he gets executive power. That is insanely terrifying. Actually, I'm one of the people currently on a lawsuit against Andrew Cuomo for this power grab. Unfortunately, one of my Republican opponents voted to give Andrew Cuomo executive power, and me and a handful of others are fighting this power grab because you cannot put all the power in the hands of one person. That is a very slippery slope and a very terrifying situation to be in. Big government is deeply intrusive, and it's they don't have the answers. A bureaucrat in Albany doesn't know how to live your life, and you're seeing it with a lot of these government programs, especially I use the Department of Education on this. Teachers are getting shafted all across the country, and especially in New York, because the federal government's passing laws, and they're failing the teachers and resulting in high burnout rates. You got No Children Gets Left Behind, which is a failure. You got standardized testing, which is a failure. You got Common Core, which is a failure. All of these bureaucrats in Albany and D.C., are passing rules and laws and regulations so they can pat themselves on their back and justify their paycheck. And it's devastating these teachers. It's giving them burnout. It's giving them, they're not allowed to do their job. I'm not a teacher. I'm an accountant. I'm not a teacher. So I don't want to be sitting here telling teachers how to do their job. If they're doing their job, they know how to teach these kids. They know what these kids need. They're with them every day. We need to make it easier for them to do what they need to do. And that's just one of the examples of big government kind of doing things to prove it needs to exist that devastates teachers or devastates people. So,
Duane, on your website, it says that as an accountant, you specialize in working with the tax code, and you'd like to see it restructured to help small businesses and the middle class. How would that work? What would you do if you were elected to Congress to make that happen?
So my tax policy is actually, as an accountant, that's kind of my my Sistine Chapel. I've spent a lot of time. I started my business at 25, and this is my life's been kind of the same. I started my accounting practice at 25 years old, and a lot of my friends and family said I shouldn't do it because there's already H&R Blocks out there. These big companies are out there. I should wait wait till longer. And kind of the same thing happened with my run. They said, well, you're going to run as a third party. There's other parties out there. And I said, well, people deserve to have an alternate choice. So my tax code does a few things. Number one, I don't think that Social Security income should be taxed anymore. I never understood why the threshold is $25,000 in a household or $35,000 in a household to have 50 or 85% of your Social Security income taxed. It should be no taxed. That's something that government used to try to nickel and dime people. we should remove all tax on Social Security income. Our seniors have done enough. They don't need more taxes. Another thing is restructuring certain deductions and credits. I want to move the health insurance premiums deduction to an actual deduction for taxable income. I want to make child care and dependent deduction to get taxable income. I want to remove the cap on student loan interest. Right now it's $2,500. I want to remove that. That's going to really help low-income, middle-class families. Then on a corporate side, I actually want to restructure the tax code where it's a graduated income tax. So smaller businesses actually would pay no tax on the first X dollars of gross income. And the reason why I did that, I'm actually going to use an example. One of my friends, as I said, I'm an accountant, so I have a client that comes in every year, and their goal is to profit $100,000. And what they do is they use that $100,000 to pay themselves in the next year. When it's all said and done, because of the tax rate, they profit $100,000, $21,000 goes to the federal government right off the top. If they had a 0% income tax on that, that $21,000 can be hiring a new employee, at least part-time, providing better benefits, renting a better space, doing a massive advertising campaign. That $21,000 is necessary for these small businesses and can be reinvested into local communities. I know that a lot of people think that when you cut taxes on large corporations, they keep the money, they hoard the wealth. You know, Bernie Sanders' favorite thing to say is hoard the wealth. I'm not really worried about them. I'm more worried about the millions of small businesses, especially now when you have, 100,000 businesses shutting down in New York State because of the quarantine and the shutdown. Now is the time to really be focusing on them, because small businesses are what make up small towns. They're what make up small communities. As they start to die, you're going to see small towns die. We can't rely on massive corporations. We need people to start opening their own businesses and thriving. And at a federal level, we have to be doing as much as we can to kind of negate the negative effects of living in New York State, which is the highest tax state in the union.
Dwayne, obviously there are a lot of smaller communities and rural areas in New York 27, which is a vast swath of land. And you have a couple of cities in Buffalo and Rochester, but what do you hear from folks when you campaign? Or have you not gone door-to-door throughout this district?
Door-to-door was tough because the shutdown. And so it's the catch-22 of how long does it take to someone to get really mad that we're going door-to-door. So we did a little bit of door-to-door last summer and into the fall. I hit up as many town festivals and county fairs as I could. It motivated my run more because a lot of the people I talked to, they were looking for something different. They are upset. They are angry. That's kind of how Trump won in 2016, is he was viewed as an outsider. He wasn't a politician, and he was viewed against running against an establishment candidate in Hillary. A lot of people turned out because they wanted something different. They wanted to send a message. They wanted that, not so much wild card, but they wanted something different. They wanted something new. They were sick of politicians. And so it kind of motivated my run because I'm not a politician. This is my first foray into politics. I kind of view myself as the anti-politician because I'm not friends with a lot of politicians. I don't know a lot of politicians. I've been focusing on my life and my business really for the, 32 years I've been alive. So talking to a lot of people, I said there's an underlying sense of anger and just disappointment. They feel let down with a lot of elected officials. They don't understand why there's the division. They're kind of just burnt out and sick of what's going on in this country.
You know, Dwayne, it strikes me, though, you mentioned that you started the campaign in 2018. It was before the pandemic. And I would think that it's a real uphill climb for a person who doesn't have the same name recognition as some of the other candidates in the race. Did you feel like maybe you dropped the ball a little bit about not campaigning more door-to-door early in the campaign cycle?
No, because the issue was people will forget. If you meet someone in, January 2019, the election's in November 2020, there's a chance they'll forget, they'll lose the door hanger, they'll lose the pamphlet. So hindsight's always 2020. I was never expecting a shutdown that would not allow us to do a lot of campaigning and door knocking into the special here in June. So, no, I don't feel I dropped the ball. I don't think anyone predicted that there was going to be this level of shutdown or this level of, you know, societal shutdown. So, no, I mean, it didn't help me, that this shutdown, this pandemic didn't help me at all. But I have gotten a lot of media. I have gotten a lot of interactions that way. I have the Facebook page. You know, I've been on, you know, news stations a lot. You know, things like this help out. They kind of help negate the impact of the shutdown. But, yeah, third parties, especially me, we run into a lot of issues. You know, financially, I'm not worth $70 million. I come in, you know, just short at like $69.5 million short of that. So I don't have finances. We don't have, you know, the massive amounts of fundraising going on. We don't have party recognition. I don't have name recognition. We don't have the media contacts. So, yeah, running as a third party is always an uphill battle, but it's one I truly believe in. I do believe people of NY27 deserve a better voice. I do believe that, you know, the country as a whole deserves another option, or at least one other option. I mean, 100 million people didn't vote in 2016. There's a reason for that, whether they're burnt out, they've given up. There deserves to be more than just two options.
We talked a bit about COVID-19, and if you were advising the president and there's a second wave that occurs, would you recommend another nationwide lockdown to combat it, or what would you do if you didn't feel like that was the right route?
So Donald Trump is in a no-win situation right now, because the solution to this COVID-19 crisis and any other pandemic that comes through, look, I'm 32 years old. I remember Ebola. I remember swine flu. I remember the bird flu. They were all treated differently. But the biggest issue with COVID was these test kits weren't available. What happens is big companies, big pharma, they lobby and they buy politicians. They buy people in Congress, where I'm running, through lobbyists and through donations, to pass laws under the facade of safety and security that really make it harder for competitors to come to the market. This whole thing could have been a lot easier if we had test kits. And one was actually pending FDA approval for like 60 days. One that was approved in another country. That's an issue. We need to start cutting regulations that are going to allow these test kits to get to the market so people can get tested. As far as recommending another lockdown, Donald Trump at one point stated that it's a state issue and it's a county issue, and I truly believe in that. You know, libertarians believe in decentralization. They believe in more like county rule, because you know what's best for your county. I don't know what's best for any county in California or Wyoming. I don't live there. I live in Erie County. My response is always it should be on a countywide basis, just strictly because those people know what's going on in their own county. They know the population density. They know the infection rate. Asking Trump to monitor 50 states and all these counties really isn't something he should be doing. I do believe that it's a state and even county local issue, because every county is different, especially in New York State. You have Erie County, which has Buffalo, and then you go an hour over and you got Wyoming County, which is very rural, had a much lower impact. So shutting down these rural counties to benefit New York City isn't going to help any problems.
Dwayne, we've got about 90 seconds left, but I do want to ask you about the racial and civil unrest that's happening throughout the country. What's your view about defunding the police and those who advocate for education reform, mental health counseling, and so forth, instead of the current situation with many law enforcement agencies around the country right now as it is?
Education reform is necessary, as is mental health, help with mental health. The underlying mental health issues in this country are a problem, and we need to end the stigma around mental health counseling. If you seek mental health counseling, you shouldn't be ashamed, you shouldn't be embarrassed. The solution to this police issue is quite simple, but legislators have to admit why they use police. We need to start cutting these victimless and unconstitutional laws that are adding up to more interactions with police. If you stop enforcing unconstitutional laws, you're going to have less run-ins with the police. The police are going to have less run-ins with people. Legislators are using the police as revenue generators to fill their budget gap. the police need to kind of take a stand and say, look, we're done enforcing laws with no victim. We want to go back to doing what we're supposed to do, and that's actually policing and actually solving crimes and trying to prevent crimes such as murder, rape, assault, theft, you know, going after someone for, you know, the SAFE Act, for example, in New York State. It's an unconstitutional law that should not be enforced. You know, if the police want to start standing with the Constitution, which is what they swore to uphold when they take their job, you're going to see a lot of these issues go away. You know, the example real fast before we get cut off is the 75-year-old last week that got pushed. That would have been prevented if police weren't enforcing that constitutional curfew put in place by Mayor Byron Brown. That whole situation would never have happened. Curfews are unconstitutional. You have the right to peacefully assemble. If that unconstitutional curfew wasn't in place, this situation never happened. So that's, in my opinion, a great example of you know, starting to cut these unconstitutional laws, and that's the libertarian solution.
Dwayne Whitmer, New York 27 libertarian candidate. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning, Dwayne. Best of luck to you, and stay safe on that campaign trail.
Thank you so much for having me. It means a lot. Thank you. I truly mean it.
You're welcome. Well, we have much more to come on Hardline. We're here right till noon, and we take your calls and texts at 803-0930. Coming up in just a few moments, State Senator Rob Ort, who has a new position. We'll talk with him right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.